Sometimes Forex trading is a wild and woolly place to be. That's why Hugh's here, to pose your questions to Walter, the naked Forex guy. Hugh's got questions, and Walter's got the answers. Here at the Truth About FX podcast.
Hey, Walter, somebody wrote in and they're asking, I came across some of your material and read through your book. I've been trading Forex off and on for a couple of years, and while I'm profitable, I find myself doubting the viability of a pure price action system. I've been searching the internet for people who really made it using pure price action, but I'm not able to find any of them. I went through several of Jack Schwager's Market Wizards books, and I'm a little confused. Those people mention that are absolutely brilliant people, and even though they're not able to generate more than 20% annualized returns, what are the chances of an inexperienced retail trader doing well? Furthermore, most of the traders make use of a mix of fundamental sentiment and technical analysis to create bigger trades. Aside from the liquidity advantage, is it really possible for retail traders to profit using pure price action techniques? Wow, that's a lot.
There's a lot. So I would encourage you to go back and look at the traders in the Market Wizards and New Market Wizards books that have the pit floor experience, because what they're doing is essentially very, very closely related to what price action traders do. It's admittedly, it's probably not the same, but they look at, so there are traders, for example, that can look at order flow. So, and sometimes that's as simple as if you read the old Reminiscences of a Stock Operator book, which is the thinly veiled biography of Jesse Livermore, he talked about how he could go into the old bucket shops, so to speak, where they would, which are basically today's Forex brokers are the equivalent of the old bucket shops. And what they would do is he would listen to the ticker, and as the ticker increased in the number of trades it would go through, that was like a measure of volume and a measure of intensity and when the market was picking up steam. And so he would actually just watch the prices tick up and down, and that's how he would place his trades. Now, a lot of these guys on the floor who had experience on the floor and then later moved to the office and run funds, those guys that were in the Market Wizards and the New Market Wizards, they kind of take the same similar approach, where they're basically waiting for price to get to a certain level and see what it does. So that's one issue, okay? And if you don't believe that, you should definitely not trade it. That's another take-home message I want to really emphasize here. If you're looking around and you're saying, nobody is doing what I want to do or what I think I should do, then don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, if I look around, I don't know a whole lot of people who are professional tennis players. Does that mean that I shouldn't become or aspire to be a professional tennis player? Not necessarily. It just means that I don't know any. And so it seems like what you're trying to do is get someone to convince you that you should throw away your beliefs about the market and adopt someone else's. And I don't think that's the path. Yeah, I really don't think that's the path. I think instead leverage what you believe, which it sounds like is to use technical analysis with fundamental analysis and trade off of that. And the third point I think that's a really good one made here is if so-and-so with the big hedge fund and all the computers and the team of algo specialists and all that, physicists, PhDs, physics PhDs and all these chaos theory guys, if they can only make 20% a year at best, how can I do that? Well, here's the fact. The fact is, when you've got $4 billion to move around, it's really, really hard. In fact, the biggest deal you'll find with these private funds is they're looking for more markets. They need more markets because if they sink all of their money into Tesla stock or whatever, you know, they affect the market. They're so big. So they're always looking for more places to sink money into. And so, and they don't get the leverage that you get, obviously. They'd be lucky to get 3-to-1 leverage. I mean, some of them are unleveraged. So you have incredible advantages as a retail trader. Yes, you can get screwed over by your broker. Yes, you know, you can have things like your VPS goes dark on you overnight and or you get gapped over the weekend, and all these things happen. But those are the same things that can happen to hedge funds too. So what I would encourage you to concentrate on is find what you believe, focus in on that, test that. Don't worry about asking me or anyone else to convince you that you should trade the way I do, or anybody else for that matter. Just focus on what you believe, which it sounds like is some sort of mix of indicators and fundamental analysis. I could be wrong, but that's what it sounds like. And then from there, make sure that you get really good at it and just become an expert at that, and don't worry about what everyone else is doing. And remember that you have incredible advantages as a retail trader. For one, you don't have to give all of your money to your broker, because you're going to get leverage. You're going to get good leverage in most cases, so that if you have $100,000 to trade, you might get away with trading $35,000 of that. That's a huge advantage, because if your broker goes bust or goes bad or whatever, you won't lose all your trading money. You'll still have some left over. I mean, these things happen, of course. Brokers go bad and they go bust, and you can lose all of your money. That's what I would do if I were you. It sounds like you want to be convinced, and I wouldn't go that route. I would just focus in on what you believe. Find one of those market wizards that you really resonate with and try and work out something that, or find a guru or whatever, somebody online that trades the way that you want to trade, and do that. I don't think that this is necessarily for you. It sounds like naked trading doesn't really jive with you, which is totally cool, by the way. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think that it's better you find that out now than later. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Cool. Yeah, and I think it's also important to realize that those bigger traders have to worry about the drawdown more than the returns, right? So
yeah,
I knew a guy who was doing like 100% a year, but then when he traded for a fund, he had to gear it down so that he only made like 10% a year. So I think that's something to take into account, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's how you get hired as a trader. Mm-hmm. The way you get hired as a trader is by controlling your drawdowns. That's the secret. You're absolutely right. So these guys, okay, here's what the fund knows. As soon as they have a drawdown of 10, 15, 20, as soon as they get there, the withdrawals start coming in, okay? And maybe even lawsuits or whatever, you know, like this is what happens. Like, they know that. So everything they're doing is geared to try and reduce that. You're absolutely right. Now, of course, there are going to be some that are aggressive. And there are a lot of funds where your money's locked up for X number of years or whatever. You sign a contract when you put it in. But still, you know, depositors will try to get out of that. So, you know, it's always the case that you're right. Drawdown is the number one focus of these funds. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, as retail traders, we can learn a lot from this, because we don't look at drawdown nearly as much as we should, in my estimation. I think we're always looking at the peak of the equity curve, and we're not looking at these little dips and valleys. And we should probably take something away from the private funds and focus more on that, because we don't do nearly enough work on that end. And yet that's the reason why we give up on strategies and give up on trading altogether. So I definitely agree with that, Hugh. That's a really, really good point.
All right. Thanks, Walter. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you.